Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even though thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sheep. Sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days when thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Praise God for the power of his logos, his instructional word. Here, we just read for your listening consideration and your soul's inspiration, the 90th division of Psalm. Here is the psalmist saying, oh, Father God, we humble ourselves before you, and we realize that when we have invested ourselves in a manner that has not been pleasing to you, that your wrath come to chasten us. Your wrath come to scorn us. But, oh, Father God, be thou merciful, for thou art all-powerful. Thou art all-knowing. Thou art all-present. Have mercy upon us. For we know that thy wrath can cause great and hideous things to happen. But through your loving kindness and your tender mercies, be merciful unto those who turn and repent. And if there was ever a time that this word of knowledge needed to be shared, that time is in the here and now. Let me tell you something. God said in his word, and you know he said it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then would I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. O church of God, O believers in the body of Christ, who's the only true church that there is, it's repentance time. That's right. Well, if we say we have no sin, we are not being truthful to ourselves. We are being counterfeited in our posture that we've been called. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know this is a very unusual way to go into manna from on high. On this glorious and victorious day it is, Sunday, November 7th, 2021, the church which is the body of believers. Now, the true church has no sin. And, you know, Jesus Christ is the true church. There's no sin there. But in the body of Christ, we have fallen so much by the wayside. We have instituted literally a great power failure. That's right. And if we obey the commission that our Lord Jesus Christ said, that in his name we will cast out devils. We would heal those who were afflicted. We would speak miracles into existence. We would be the full-fledged, authorized ambassadors of God's power. What has happened to many of us is that we've gotten too embedded into the world, to the systematic way and the flow of the world. And we want to fit in. We want to configure ourselves to fit their fashion. God is calling us back to the originality phase of holiness, righteousness, and worship. We've got to go back to the old landmark. That's right, where there was no compromise, where there was no dissemination, where there was no division, but there was only taught one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's right. We've got to go back. We've got to leave this man-made indoctrinization alone. We've got to forsake the comfort zone and get into the gone zone where God is the center of all that we say, replicate, and do. And in doing this, we're going to experience the miracles of God in our lives, in our bodies, in our households, on our jobs, in our areas of profession, in our daily endeavors. We're going to see the handiwork of God work on our behalf. And to get us into that framework, we want to say a word of prayer. Prayer is the communication key that opens up the channels of heaven where the blessings can flow into the atmosphere, into the ionosphere, into the stratosphere, into your location, into your individualized habitat. And Jesus even told us, our Lord, he says, whether there be two or three witnesses gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we're going to call upon the very powers of heaven right now. Stop what you're doing. Halt. Freeze. Let's go to God in prayer. To those of you who have family members who are in the need of intercession, we're going to do that. To those of you who need the intercession power of prayer, the anointing of God to break that yoke, to break that curse, to break that evil influence that's been hovering over you, hovering over your household, hovering over your family, hovering over your job, hovering over your areas of constituency. Those holds need to be broken now, but it can only be broken by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything must be subject to his name. And right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of our Lord and resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we rebuke every foul influence, every negative energy, every attack of the enemy, every intention to do harm, to disintegrate our faith and to break us down and to minuscule the ability of every child of God at this time, at this hour. It doesn't matter where they are and who they are. God, you know where they are. You know whom they are. We're asking that in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who was a sacrifice for us all, to redeem us from the power of sin and the power of evil and wickedness. We're calling upon his name right now. Destroy, destroy, destroy. Break down every chain, every fetter, every negative influence, every intention of the enemy. and let the power of your presence right now in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, be gone. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. Well, that name is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And to God, Father God, to you be the glory, hallelujah, for your deliverance, for your healing, for your presence, for your deliverance, for your faith shining upon those who are in prayer right now. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. Father God, if we've committed any offense or even any act of iniquity that could lead to the offense, forgive us, Lord. Cover us in the blood of Jesus. So, Father God, that when you look upon us, you see us through the eyes of your beloved Son. Oh, Father God, we thank you. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we praise you, Father God, for those who have departed from the faith coming back to the faith, for those whose head were hanging down and depressed and fearful, that that chain, that bondage, that hindrance has been broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercy. Oh, Father God, we bless you. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you in thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for making us whole. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for prospering us. Thank you for peace. Thank you for wealth. Thank you for prosperity. Thank you for wholesomeness. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. Just thank you for being God. And beside you, there is none other. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Father God. We thank you for just being God, and beside you, there is none other. I can just feel the anointing, the presence of the Lord so heavily right now. And if you can't feel it, you need to reach out beyond where you are and open up and receive this greatness. Something happened. Something translated. Something turned over in the spirit realm, and it's going to manifest in the natural realm. We're going to see miracles come through, divine favor come through. And when the enemy has been trying to oppress us, God has removed it. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, my God. What a wonderful time to be a born-again believer. And I'm trusting God that the power and the manifestation of those miracles will take place rapidly. That's right, take place rapidly. That's right, because someone is standing in the need. Someone is standing in the need of deliverance. That's right, that deliverance is dealing with the area of your career. That's why of your job places, the enemy has tried to distract you, to discourage you, because there are some there who envy you. That's why they envy the gifts that God has poured into you. God is saying, I have made your enemies, those who spoke against you, your footstool. You will step upon them. You will walk upon them. And the very person that desires to condescend you will give you divine favor. Thus saith the Lord our God. Oh, what God can do, what he can do what no one else is able to do. He can turn a negative situation around. And he can plant your feet on that solid ground. He can make your enemies bow down. He can make them flee where you won't even see them around. Oh, yes, I'm telling you that this is true. There is no secret what our God can do. And, oh, I'm just thanking God today because I know in my spirit I feel the manifestation of those miracles. I just thank God for all that he's doing for his children at this time. And let me tell you something. Here's a word of knowledge before we go into the scripture. Please, when God delivers you, when God manifests the miracles that you prayed for, please turn back and say, thank you, Lord. When you get that excellent health report, say thank you, Jesus. When you get that financial breakthrough this week, say thank you, Lord. When God makes you the head and not the tail at your work location, and the very elements are subject to you, and you sit in posture and in divine favor, thank God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't forget to be grateful, to express gratitude, because sometimes God allows negative circumstances and situations to occur to get our attention, because sometimes we get a little bit too frivolous. We become a little bit too playful, too relaxed, and God wants us to stay vigilant, to stay strong, to stay focused. And he allows circumstances to come to shake us up in that area, and we thought it was the comfort zone. And then what happens? We say, oh, Lord, woe is me. We get that Jeremiah circumstance going and flowing. God knows he's got your attention. Now you're going to pray. You're going to utilize effectual and fervent prayer because you need him. You need his deliverance. Let's not even have to be pushed into that area. Let's just do it on a continual basis where God doesn't have to shake us up. Despite how blessed I am, and this is what I say, how much divine favor, how excellent my health is, how great my life is going, I'm going to constantly focus on God. And I'm going to constantly focus on those who are in a place in their lives that are very difficult. I'm going to minister to those who don't have substance. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Visit the afflicted. Whether we go physically there or not, just picking up the phone and saying, I care. Or else sending out a word of prayer to say, I'm standing with you. I'm going to do it. Don't end up being like Jonah in the belly of the fish when God sent him to the city of Nineveh to speak his word. There were hungry men and women who needed that word from Jonah. Jonah was so comfortable, he said, you know what? I'm good. My life is good. Let me take my time. I'm going elsewhere. What did God do? We, some of us, just came out the mouth of the fish. And praise the Lord. Ain't no shame in this. Some of us came out the mouth of the fish. We like Jonah. When that fish held us in its jaws, and the circumstances of life held us captive in the jaws, what do we say? Oh, Lord, what did I do? What did I do? And God begins to bring back to mind what we did. I'm not starting to go out of guilt complex. This is reality. It's called spiritual accountability. When God tells us to do something, we got to do it. Something about, I don't understand how. You're not going to understand anyway because you understand that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So as high as the heavens are above the earth, let's stop trying to philosophize God. You can't do it. Stop trying to make a scientific exploration and explanation. You can't do it. Just simply when God says do it, let me go and get to it. And let me tell you, Jonah experienced this. He had time to think and said, when God spoke the word to that fish, somebody said it was a whale. Scripture said fish. He said, and that fish blurted Jonah out, said Jonah made a three-day journey in one day. And that's where I'm at now. I'm making that three-day journey in one day because I need the favor of God to constantly flow into my life. I don't want the chastening of the Lord anymore. You shouldn't want the chastening of the Lord anymore. Don't you know God said this? Go in the vineyard and work. Whatever is right, I will pay you. God will move the hand of the man who has what you need to render it to you on your behalf. God moves them. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And this is what it boils down to. We got to get back to the business of serving God's people. Some of our ministries are not in a congregational physical building setting. Some of our ministries are into the field of connecting with people on a larger level, on a larger venue. Some of our callings and our elections and our ministries are connected into community places where people don't know about the truth of God. Some of our ministries are in school to reach people, our presence to reach people, to reach the children. Because sometimes the children have far more influence with their adult counterparts and their residencies than we do. So see, it's the anointing of God, the frequency of God, the presence of God that breaketh the yoke. Some of our calls are to work in the business field. There's a lot of people that are caught up in corporate America who have no knowledge of the power of God. Some of them have good salaries and good positions, but they have no peace. They're indulging in unhealthy lifestyle practices, overindulging. Because Jesus told us nothing is unclean of itself. So people say, oh, it's a sin. Nothing is unclean of itself. People say, it's wrong for sin to drink. No, it's not sin to drink. It's a sin to be drunk. I'm not instituting and supporting alcoholic indulgence. But I'm saying don't blame it on the act. Blame it upon the individual who's implementing the actions without any control. So we need to understand what truth is. And we need to go back to where the truth lies, and that's in the Word of God. Let's get this man-made servitude out of our mindset. Let's get this indoctrination out of our mindset, because this is a hindering factor to us moving forward. Miracles should have long occurred. Many of us should have long gotten that financial breakthrough. Many of us should have long been delivered, our families delivered, salvation to our family members, our counterparts. But we've gotten off the chart. We got into the easy framework of things. While things was going, hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle with us, we were cool about it. Oh, nah, but see, when trouble comes, little friction comes, oh, stress comes, oh, that shakes us up, and it shakes up the gift within us. Well, God got to do it to get you to it. God had to do it to me to get me to it. I don't think you're any better than I am. We've got to work the work of him that sent us. And that's where it is. And this is where all the blessings come from. I'm looking, so many people, oh, I'm just getting old. I'm looking forward to my 100th birthday. That's going to be a grand celebration. That's a very long ways off. But I'm thanking God because it's going to be a happy time of celebration and rejoicing. Because I can be able to testify to those who are younger than me. Should God carry his coming? So many are saying that, you know what, it's going to take place long from now, the coming, second coming of Jesus Christ. We don't know. No man knows the day, the moment, and the hour which the Son of Man appears. We know it's going to come, but we don't know when. All we can do is be patient and persevere and fight the good fight of faith and walk in the blessings, the divine favor of God's presence. So many say the blessing of Abraham. What's Abraham's perspective? He was so close to God. God called him his friend. We need to develop such a close relationship with God that he looks upon us as being his friend. So we just praise God right here, right now, on this very, very day. And I know we were in the Word of God last week. We were talking about Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians about how he had to go to this church and set them straight. And this church was an assembly of believers in that region. See, we need to get out of our minds when we think about church, about building circumferences. Because, see, building circumferences are limitations. We're talking about believers in the geographical area. These people had gotten off track. They got confused. They actually got off the track with walking in the ways of righteousness. And I just want to go here because it's very pertinent right here to the 15th verse of the 5th chapter of Galatians. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. It's a terrible thing when I see those who profess to be born again to strike out at those who are also of the circumcision. It's our conduct and our behavior, our mannerism that reflects the presence of who we are and where we stand. We must be circumspect. When you're circumspect, that means you're careful. You're mindful. Because not only about what somebody else is going to say about you, but because God is watching. Sometimes I just want to say things to people, and let me be real about it, things that are not very nice to say. But I remember, God is watching. Sometimes I'm thinking things that is just not a good thought to think, and I want to act out what I'm thinking, but you know what? God is watching. Because don't be self-righteous, and I'm being realistic. We need to address this. Because this is what a lot of us are harboring within ourselves. We get these temptations, these thoughts to act out and implement certain behaviors and characteristics. But we know that it's not wholesome to do unless you take that bad root out of the ground. You know what's going to happen? If you let that bad root connect to the remainder of what's in that ground, that bad root, that one bad seed is going to corrupt the rest of the seed. That's the truth that was talked about the talents. Remember the talents? Some buried their talents, some used their talents. But the one negative factor that offset everything was that one negative thing that was imputed within the individual with the talents corrupted and corrosively impacted the rest of the things that were there that could have been productive. Instead, it became counterproductive. So sometimes we can become our own worst enemy when we're self-righteous, we're self-inflated, we're full of ego, we think we're holier than thou. All of our righteousness, let's get this straight, it's filthy rags. What we put on, we cover up. That's good. We're supposed to be modest. That's common sense of applicability. But putting on the clothing doesn't make us righteous. Putting on the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ is what makes us righteous. He is our only righteousness because we're not good enough to be righteous. The only authority we have is in him, not in them, but in him. And we need to reflect on these things. This is why Apostle Paul said, make sure that you don't destroy one another with your words and with your actions. Because remember, the world is watching and the enemy, Satan, he's looking. And see, no, he doesn't have power to hurt us or harm us, but what he can do is he can put fuel into the flame, which means that he can impede those actions and let others see. And those unbelievers will look and say, well, you know something, if they're saying that they're born again and they're a Christian and they're acting like that and talking about other people like that, I don't want nothing to do with what they got. Because remember, they're looking for a place to escape. That's the reason why a lot of them overindulge in drugs. That's the reason why a lot of them overindulge in unhealthy lifestyle practices and infidelity, committing carnal sin with their bodies. We're not talking about they picked up a pencil that wasn't theirs. No. If you picked up a pencil that wasn't theirs, you can always take and return that pencil, and you're not stained. But if you commit acts with your body, with a person you're not in a covenant relationship with, you're not covered, you're not protected. That puts a stain on you. So many of them, you know, indulge in those behaviors because they're looking for an escape clause, an escape mechanism. So they're looking for a way of escape, a way out. And we need to be that light to show them the way out. Let them know we're not the way out. But we can direct you to someone who is the master to show you the way to go. And this is what we are. We're like conductors on that pathway to freedom. That's what we are. And we're giving them to the masterful engineer, Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not to say we're on the train ride to enjoy the journey. Yes, God wants us to have a wholesome life. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be satisfied. He wants us to indulge in clean and wholesome entertainment. He wants us to do this, but we can't take and put these things before him. Because in all that we have and all that we do, we have to remember those who don't have and remember where the source of our greatness, of our prosperity is through Jesus Christ. Okay? So he's saying here, listen, this I say, walk in the Spirit, 16th verse, underline that. Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wow, that's powerful. So how do you do it again? What did Apostle Paul say? Walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? By praying. Praying has to become a constant part of your existence. Men should pray and not faint. Pray without ceasing. That means perpetually pray. Praying when things are going great, so that when things don't go not so great, you can speak to God, God hears you, and because of divine favor, he delivers you from that situation. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes fasting. Fasting, people, first thing they say, oh, I got to go out food and water. Jesus did it 40 days and 40 nights. Well, yes, he's the master. He's perfect. He could do that, God in the flesh. I'm not telling you to go in here and go without food and water for 40 days. No, that wouldn't be a wise decision because we have not translated to divinity yet. We are encased. We are spirits encased in a human form, in a human tabernacle, and we have to be mindful of things. But fasting sometimes means just cutting yourself away from everything and everybody and getting to that quiet corner and just talk to God. Read his word, speak to him, fellowship with him, praise him and thank him. Sometimes just fasting can even mean being able to just go into the area of your place, of your area of solitude, and just be able to just say, Father God, I need to reach out to you. That means sometimes in your quiet corner, in your job, in your profession, in your career, in your area of placement, and just think about it, and just go to God, and just talk to him, communicate with him, and just be able to connect with him. Have we ever thought about that? We always inclusive to fasting as without food or water. Sometimes we need to go without food. That's right. It won't hurt us. It will purge us. Sometimes we need to go without water because sometimes our bodies need to get certain toxins and poisons out. Sometimes it means that we may do one meal a day, two meals a day, and that's it. Give up something because you think about the great sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. That's so small. It's nothing. It's nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory. Walking in the Spirit, that means denying yourself of certain pleasures. Yes, when you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to sometimes just get away from everything. You're going to have to remove yourself. Certain people you want to remove yourself. We're going to have to sometimes just limit ourselves and availability. Sometimes you've got to cut family members off because sometimes your family can drain you and they distract you. You love them, but sometimes you've got to lay that aside. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's acquaintances. We've got to become more spiritual minded because we are getting to be too carnal minded. And this is the reason why a lot of times we lose focus. We lose vision. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. So we have to get back on track. And in doing that, we have to be able to just refocus again. What is the thing that you're believing God for and being spiritual minded? A deeper degree of understanding, more spiritual knowledge. The first thing that comes to mind, let's be for real with it, is I need a financial breakthrough. Well, we all do. Money answers all things, and let's be realistic about this. God knows the financial institutions are very important in our lives. Because why? They sustain us. Without finances, you can't pay your mortgage, you can't pay your rent, you can't pay your utilities, you can't buy clothes, you can't buy food, you can't provide transportation. So you need to be able to, you know, provide those things. And providing those things, you have a comfort zone. You have the capacity to be self-sufficient. Every child of God, every believer of God, because we have to project a certain image to the world. As they constantly see us scratching, scraping, and bothering, they're going to look and say, well, what's wrong with them? They must not be living right. Wait a minute, maybe God isn't real, or maybe he's not real with them, or they're not real with God. They'll start judging us. So this is why it's so important that we maintain a spiritual mindset. Why? Because the spiritual things are caused the occurrence or the manifestation of natural things to come into materialization or into flourishing. That's right. Everything that is birthed into the natural realm was first conceived in the spirit realm. Think about it. When you talk about the very essence of things that are created, they have to come through the mind. The mind and spirit, okay, that's an intertwining, interconnection, heart and soul. See, these two elements intertwine. It's natural and spiritual, natural and spiritual. Everybody has a mind. The mind means the matter in which you think. Not only in which you think, how you react to what you think, okay? That's another elevation of the mind, okay? The heart. The heart is the very epitome of your existence. Why? Because the heart is what flows the blood throughout your physiology, throughout your anatomy, so that you have the capacity to think. You have the capacity to walk. You have the capacity to talk. You have the capacity to move about freely. So this is what it is, okay? So it's very important, it's very pertinent to understand that, natural and then spiritual. So to spirituality is reliant, why? To the natural aspect of why? It has to have something to be comparative to. That's right. It's two different categories, but they reflect one another. And you can see the advantages of being spiritual minded. That means you're not stressed. You're not stressed, you're not stretched, you're not anxious, you don't get angry, you don't get frustrated, even into the point whereas you are fully trusting God. But in the natural, we focus upon what we see with natural eyes, natural peripheral vision. But in the spiritual aspect, we have what? Inner vision. We know the scope of how God operates and how God utilizes his power to deliver us. We see totally different. So this is the reason why if we walk in the spirit, walk in the mind of God, walk in the mannerism of his footsteps, follow his word, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what's the lust of the flesh? Uncleanliness, unforgiveness, jealousy, hatred, malice, iniquity, adultery. And the first thing you think about when I said adultery, you talk about a person who is indulging in physical activity with a person who's made a covenant with someone else. That's not the only way you can commit adultery. You can commit adultery by professing to know Jesus Christ and being a born-again believer, and you're indulging in witchcraft, using sorcery, using all types of enchantment, going into the world, indulging in their lascivious behaviors, and then saying that you're clean. That's adultery. No man can love two masters. He will love one and hate the other. So if you love God through Jesus Christ, put away those enchantments, because those enchantments are an abomination. It's a disrespect to God. Why do you think he said, suffer not a witch to live? First thing he said, oh my goodness, son of witch trials. Remember what they know. Suffer not a witch to live means now, do not permit one who implements enchantment to be accepted and to embrace them, because these are dealing with dark forces. You have no knowledge of what you're dealing with. And it's not spiritually enhancing also. It's a negative force. The forces of darkness. The forces of darkness work through the flesh. You're inviting negativity into your life, into your environment. So this is why it's so important to understand this concept of spirituality. See, being spiritual-minded means true spirituality. It's all about God, pleasing God, loving God, serving God. Serving God, we will bless his people. We will bless those who are in need, not those in greed. We do not bow down to man-made servitude. Those things are not acceptable. And you know, so many of you were hoping to get a happy message tonight. But you know, this is a joyful message because it's giving us clarity. We understand now what's going on, where the interruption in the program took place, why there's become a power deficit in modern-day believers, because we've gotten off track. We've become carnal-minded. That means we become lax and latent in the flesh. Everything is focused upon the flesh, beautification of the flesh, glorification of the flesh, acknowledgement of the flesh. There's nothing wrong with dressing and being attractive, and all those things are wonderful, but our minds must be focused on the things of God. You can focus your mind on things of God and go out and have a good time with friends and have dinner and enjoy entertainment. That's wonderful. Jesus turned water into wedding wine. There's nothing wrong with it. But we have to understand the responsibility is that we are moderate and temperate in all things. We're not convincing ourselves into a drunken behavior. Drunken behavior brings about a stupor. It brings about incoherent behavior. We have to be sober and vigilant at all times. And so many people talk about, oh, the indulgence of alcohol, but you don't sit up and you talk about the overindulgence of food. This is something that is inflicted. So many of us have developed issues physically, chronically, because of overindulgence in eating. You know that leads toward gluttony. Gluttony is a sense of disrespect. It's like saying, God, I got to get all this now because I don't know whether or not I'm going to have something later. And it leads to being greedy. That's what gluttony is. That's why gluttony is such a disrespect. But see, that's a sin that people don't want to talk about. Because it's acceptable. Oh, you know, folks in the church can eat. Stop that lie. We're to be moderate and temperate in all things. That means that we can eat and enjoy a good meal. We may go back for a second. Well, you don't go back for a third, fourth, fifth, because it's there. I say, oh, my goodness, I got to eat till I get full. No, you eat to satisfy your hunger at that time. You eating to get full, you become a gluttonous person. God doesn't like that. You're not respecting God when you conduct yourself in this manner. Then you wonder why so many people have issues. Physiologically, no, God wants us harmoniously synchronized. He wants balance. He wants us to enjoy the best that life has to offer, but we need to know how to walk the walk if we talk the talk. But if not, we get off track, we're going to step on a sharp stone, and we're going to be inches behind. That's right. You'll kill off course by not being obedient, because it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Well, we thank God for you this week on Madison on High, broadcast her on the blogtalkradio.com network, and we're coming back next week, and we're going to explore the concept of the benefits of having a spiritual mind so that we can glorify God and receive the blessings of God in our life, in our everyday life. It's not being hypersensitized or being sacro-religious. It's about being honest. It's about developing a true and wholesome relationship with the God who created us. And we can only do it through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we're blessing you. We're thanking God, and we're expecting those miracles to come on in. You got your host with the most, the Esquire Abby Phelps, known as the Motor City Mile Running Saint, in all things give thanks. So this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me, and that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Have a glorious, victorious, and blessed week, and we'll see you again on next week.